second hour of today. I have been joined by the first hour and will continue to be joined by Jane Matt Nair for the rest of the show. But right now, I am very much, well, I am looking forward to this conversation because I think it is going to be both sobering and enlightening. It is, and also sad. But we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is an obstetrician and a gynecologist in the Green Bay area. She's also the District 6 Legislative Chair and McCain Fellow for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And we invited her on today because I'm imagining that your work has gotten a lot harder than the last, has it been 2 weeks now? And so I wanted to bring you on because I know you've had some complicated cases that you personally are already trying to navigate. And in general, across the state, across other states, it's a very difficult, messy time to be practicing women's health. And so we wanted to hear a little bit more about what you can talk about, but welcome and thank you for joining us. Oh, are you still muted? Give us 1 second.
Wait a minute.
There you are.
Am I on? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Woo! All right. I love that you used the word messy because isn't that what Ron Johnson said about women who could go to other states? Like, it's going to be messy. But, you know, you can go to other states. If you don't like it, you can move somewhere else.
He did say that because it's so easy to move.
Yeah. You know, the world is so surreal right now. And it feels, you are so good at lightening things and making us, bringing us together and making us feel happy. But it almost makes me feel guilty to feel happy when the world is suffering so much. And when I'm hearing about so many of my patients and colleagues who are in really difficult situations where they're trying to not only help women find access to safe and legal abortions, but also to manage really complicated pregnancies, often desired pregnancies. So not only are these women and families faced with really challenging health decisions, but now they're faced with stigma and barriers and costs that are completely unnecessary.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I had tweeted that out, my reaction in that I feel like for the almost 50 years of the fight since Roe, what has been precedent, there's such a focus on women who don't want to be pregnant, mm-hmm. without in the anti-choice, anti-abortion rhetoric, and a complete disregard for how much this affects women who want to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. It affects women who want to, them and their partners want to do IVF. It affects people who have atopic pregnancies. It affects people who have, as you had a case that you tweeted out, have their water break at 14 weeks, and there's nothing to do. I mean, you know about this more than I do, that there's the only solution in that situation, if the mother's not going to die, is to have an abortion.
Well, and I think the most important thing that we can do as healthcare providers, because let's face it, abortion is healthcare. So as healthcare providers, when we have a patient who is faced with a complicated situation like this, we don't say, well, here's your only option. We say, here are the risks and benefits. You could continue this pregnancy. That is an option. You can end this pregnancy. That is an option. These are the obstacles that you're facing. And it's different for every individual patient in every individual circumstance. So there is no one-size-fits-all solution. And that is why we need to claim healthcare back, let physicians and nurses and PAs and other healthcare providers be able to take care of our patients and get politicians out of the exam room. Whether we're talking about reproductive care, cancer care, preventive care, I don't care what it is. Just don't stay in your lane, Ron Johnson, please.
Doctor, this has worried me since the leak came out, you know, the draft opinion, since that came out, because there are so many things that are not codified yet. And so the phrase, if the woman's life is in danger, there are no parameters right now as to what that means. So does she have to be 80% near death? Does she have to be 60% near death? Is that enough? Is that close enough to death to give her treatment that's going to save her life? And none of that is written down. So how are you guys all navigating that?
Well, and tell me, Jane, like, where is the monitor that tells me how close she is to death? Because if I know one thing about pregnant women, it's they are young and healthy and resilient until they're not. So it is really hard for us to know exactly how sick they are before they just completely tank. And the thing about this Wisconsin law is that it's an 1849 law. It was written 1 year after Wisconsin was founded and 70 years before women earned the right to vote in this country. This law should not, we don't believe it does apply. But some of the complicated things about it are this. One, no exception for rape. Two, no exception for incest. Three, the only exception is for the life of the mother, but it's really unclear what that means. So no, there's no meter on a woman that tells us where she is at as far as like her resilience. And how many physicians have to agree that she's in danger in order for us to act on her behalf? And if it's more than one physician, how do you find those extra physicians when you're in the North Woods of Wisconsin and maybe you're a family medicine doctor or maybe you're a PA at Whitehall Hospital and you don't have resources and it's the middle of the night, it's hard to get in touch with somebody, but you have to make that life-saving decision. You're stuck in between a rock and a hard place and all you want to do is take care of your patient.
And so you have already had cases where you've had to consult with a lawyer, right? And yeah. So totally insane that you as a doctor who have to make, you know, split second decisions when it comes to your patient now have to, for your own protection, to not be arrested and convicted, have to consult with a lawyer before you deliver care. And so what have lawyers been telling you as we sit in this weird limbo of kind of having this 1849 ban, but knowing that there's a lawsuit pending from Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call, that there's no legislation that have had to even start to undo the messiness. So what is the answer right now legally?
We really don't know.
Right.
So the situation that I tweeted about, because the law is so unclear and it's all just kind of, you know, in the ether right now. So the situation that I tweeted about, luckily we were able to find care for this person in a place where she was able to access it without these barriers. But when I put that tweet out, I actually got a couple tweets or a couple texts from colleagues in other parts of the state saying, our hospital lawyer saw your tweet and they want to be in touch with the lawyer from that facility so that they can see how it's being managed in other facilities. So this is the blind leading the blind. I had a meeting with the Medical Society this morning. ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, which I'm very involved with, is working with the Medical Society to help provide guidelines for emergency medicine colleagues, family medicine colleagues, pediatricians. This affects everyone in the House of Medicine in Wisconsin, across the country, but there are no guidelines and every state is different. So we are just trying to figure this out, work together, just trying to take care of our patients in the best possible way. But man, it is really, really hard right now.
Doctor, I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit, and pregnancy is really one of the most dangerous things that a woman can do physically. There are major risks involved with that. And we're talking about an adult woman. What can pregnancy do to the body of a 10-year-old girl?
Oh, isn't that an unbelievable case?
I can't even imagine. Granted, they are able to be pregnant, but that doesn't mean that their body is ready for what this is going to do to their body.
Yeah, it's really true. Or a 42-year-old woman, you know, it's a whole different set of risk factors. And I love that you said it. Pregnancy is not joyful for everyone. And in fact, as an obstetrician, every patient that I see, we assess for risks and we try to modulate those risks, whether it's blood pressure problems, very common, diabetes, very common, or as we get closer to the end of the pregnancy, we're looking for other things to evolve, other things that can be obviously fatal, but sometimes just really morbid for the mom or the baby. So pregnancy is complicated and it is much more dangerous to carry a pregnancy than it is to have an abortion.
I saw, and I think it was an obstetrician that tweeted this out, that was, you know, we have this narrative around the womb, a uterus being this very nurturing organ. But in reality, it's made to contain life, because if the growth of cells when it comes to a fetus is analogous to cancer, basically, of how quickly it's growing. And that the reason why ectopic pregnancies are so dangerous is because it feeds off of a fetus embryo, and the way that their cells are developing can cause so much damage if it's anywhere but the uterus. And because of like the actual amount of energy and food and need that it has, and that it's actually the uterus is so much less about it being a nurturing thing versus like almost ready for war in the way that what it takes to actually develop a baby. Because like the trade-off women had to stand up and walk upright is to give up an easy childbirth, right? Like that is because we're bipedal instead of, you know, a chimps and apes and stuff like that. It's like we are in hips narrowed and it became a lot more dangerous to procreate. And now it's, despite all the advances of modern medicine that we've had to make it less dangerous, seemingly this is a huge setback there.
It's a huge setback. And I love this visual of our uteruses being ready for war. And I want to just keep that in mind as we prepare for November.
You know, I didn't even think about that, but you're totally right.
There's a t-shirt there somewhere.
As goes Wisconsin, our uteruses are marching off to war.
No,
you're right. Ectopic pregnancies, even in the wrong place in the uterus, can be dangerous. If they're implanted in a part of the uterus where it can't expand appropriately, that up in the cornua, that can cause a problem. So any pregnancy in the wrong place is dangerous. And an ectopic pregnancy is the number one cause of death for women in early pregnancy. We have to be able to treat these ectopic pregnancies as emergencies. These women need care.
All right, well, I want to keep you on for one more segment till the bottom of the hour. So when we come back, I'd like to learn a little bit more about potential medical abortion pills and what that could be, because I know a new company just tried to file to be able to deliver those without a prescription. So when we come back, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.